Brother Tom Crager, as you were giving your testimony and talking about receiving the Holy Ghost, and that night as you lifted your hands and tears began to roll down your face, I couldn't help but think. They weren't tears of sadness. They weren't tears of sorrow. They weren't tears of remorse. They were tears of joy. Oh, happy day. Thank you, Jesus. Can you remember back? Can you take just a few moments and reflect on that one time, that one service? I know if you've been serving the Lord, there's been many times, but can you reflect back to that one encounter, the first encounter you had with the mighty power of the presence of God? Such a joy, such fulfillment, such satisfaction that never your soul had felt. Huh? And now we continue, we enjoy the journey. Living for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Realize it may be a little warm out there. I got up here this morning early and woke up. I said, yeah. My wife, I said, I got to get up to church, get those heaters going, because it's probably going to be pretty chilly. And hopped in the vehicle, looked at the thermometer in the mirror, said 27 degrees. I said, yeah, it's a little chilly. And so it's good to know the heaters are working. Maybe working a little too well. I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit warm. But if you're cozy, that's all right. If you're cold, well, then you just got to move around a little bit. You got to clap your hands and, you know. You wanted to say how grateful I am. Yesterday morning, I woke up and I knew as soon as I woke up it was Saturday. And normally on Saturdays, when you have a chance to sleep in, you do. And didn't have anything pressing that I had to get up and take care of. And I knew when I woke up, oh, it's not going to be a good day. And started feeling pretty sick. And I had one of those feelings like this is not good. And tried to do what I could for a couple of hours to see if I was going to get in relief, and it wasn't happening. So I called my wife in the room. I said, can you please call Brother Davis and see if he could come tomorrow morning and preach for us? I don't know what my status is going to be, and so if I have him and he's able to do so, that would be great and relieve some of that stress of trying to figure out what's going to happen. And so he graciously and willingly accepted, and so we're thankful that he's come, and he's going to deliver the word of the Lord this morning. Before he does so, I want to give you a few announcements. This coming Saturday, we need any and all that can help us. We're going to have a work day here at the church. The main thrust is going to be setting up for our harvest party happening October 31st, the following Saturday. We need a lot of setup, prep time, get things ready for that. And so if you can come and help us, we won't take up your whole Saturday, but if you'd help us from about 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., there's some general cleaning that needs to be done, some maintenance, just getting the building ready for winter as it is vastly quickly approaching. And so if you could help us in that and be here, any and all the willing, say even ladies, yes, ladies, we need your help. Got to get all the kitchen stuff ready for serving the soup the next Saturday. So any and all that would be willing to help us, we need your help next Saturday, or this coming Saturday rather, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. If you have not yet brought a bag of individually wrapped candy, we ask each family to do that. That way we have candy to give out during this time. What we're going to do, we have many that have signed up to serve soup, make soup. We also need some that are going to help us play different parts. We're going to kind of open that youth room, what we call the youth room. We're going to divide it into three different rooms, if you will. Kind of a walkthrough, Bible scene, Bible stories. With a tiny fright factor, if you would. We're going to do Lazarus raising from the dead. We're going to do Daniel in the lion's den. We're going to do Jonah and the whale. And so just kind of, we want to make it good, want to make it entertaining, but we need people to play the different parts. And so if you would be willing to play any of the parts, basically we need somebody we can wrap up in grave clothes like Lazarus. We need a couple people to play lions. Now we'll probably use many young people love doing this kind of stuff normally, so hopefully we can coerce them to being a part of it, but just want to make it a unique experience for them. We're going to have them come in and then go up through the room, come down, get their candy, then they can go down and have soup. And so just kind of make it a little different on October 31st, the harvest party. And I think there are other announcements. I neglected once again to bring the flyer for the Chicagoland Men's Conference, but we do want any and all that can go and be a part of that November 13th and 14th. It's coming up next month, and so I will very soon have the flyer. I keep putting it on the counter, and I keep walking right past it out the door. So hopefully I'll have that here tonight and pin it up on the bulletin board so you can see the times and the speakers and that sort of stuff. Brother Davis, so thankful that you are willing and able to come and be with us here this morning. I love this great man. He's a good man. He's a good man. I realize he may still be suffering from a little depression, being that the Cubs beat the Cardinals. But but we're so grateful he has come. Brother Davis, why don't you come? No stranger to this church, this pulpit, or this people. God bless you. Love you, man, and thank you so much for coming.
Amen. Everybody said praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I was actually over my depression before it even happened. Amen. And had it all reasoned out and have to admit the Cubs have done a good job so far. Amen. Maybe we won't have to wait till next. And I'm getting tired of waiting for the people that are waiting. Sake. Amen. I work in a place to where I have a number of good friends that are in their 90s now. Isn't that awesome? Amen. One I take to school. I probably have talked about this some in the past, but I take him to school 3 times a week to the College of DuPage. And he goes there and does his artwork at 94 years old. And he was a art instructor in NIU and a number of other colleges as coming up, and he uses their equipment. He doesn't really go there to learn anything. He probably knows much more than the teacher knows. But he is a Cub fan, and he is a diehard Cub fan. And where I'm working, just about everybody's Cub fans, and you realize that these folks don't have very long to go. And everybody ought to get to see their team win a World Series once. So I'm really hoping they don't, you know, do what normally the Cubs do, you know. And because if they do, I'm going to have some awful. Matter of fact, we will probably have mass suicide, you know, or death where I work because of, you know, they're so. Years ago, it was a school bus. I used to drive a school bus. You knew that. And I drove in Oswego for a while, and I had this one little boy that came out probably about 7 years old, and he had his headband on and his wristbands on and his shirt on and his baseball pants on and cap, and he come out in the spring a couple years that I had him, and he was just gung-ho because, you know, the season was starting. Of course, by the time I got back to him in the fall, there was nothing even similar to anything to do with the Cubs on his body. Amen. And that would be the typical year. But so anyway, I just want you to know I'm doing fine. And I want to live through this, I think. And I've had other problems probably I've had to contend with at the same time. You know, I got real wise that I realized, you know, I never back anything up on my computer. You do that, anybody? I got some things backed up, just things I've had to use and take out. You're supposed to back up your computers. If you didn't know that, you've already learned something this morning from your old pastor. So I decided I was going to get serious about this. I bought into a program. I paid some pretty good money on, you know, getting some stuff put on. One thing was for lifetime, and I put that on there. And then before long, they needed to optimize, and they needed to back up. And I said, okay, you know what? I said, I want to do this for you. I mean, they want to take care of about, you know, all three of our computers and my study computer. Anyway, they went to back that up. Or they were going to optimize it, back it up. But Jim, my brother, says, well, they should back up things before they optimize. Are you following me? This is good Bible right here. Amen. You're about, Sister Pat, you're about like I am when all this stuff was told to me. I'm just thinking, oh, sounds good to me. Amen. The only problem of it was when they went to optimize, they didn't back up. And I lost 40 years. of all my notes and my funeral notes and my wedding notes and my sermon notes and my Bible study notes and my Bible program. I mean, it was just all just wiped out. Amen. And so I'm at a great disadvantage today because putting sermons together has been so easy in the past. And so finally, I got that kind of to the place where I realized I'm just going to have to do all things all over again and get my best to get on my feet and get back to going. That's why I wasn't really relishing a phone call, but because it was Brother Wells and he was sick, and I thought, well, I got to get something together and come out here and do something for him. Amen. But in the midst of all that, about a week ago, I was supposed to preach last Sunday in Wheaton, and I did preach in Wheaton last Sunday, but about Friday night, my printer went out. And it said, add yellow, a cartridge of yellow ink. And so I added a cartridge of yellow ink, and it didn't work. And so I thought, well, it must be a bad one. So I went out and bought another yellow cartridge of ink and put it in there and realized, my printer would not operate without it. Usually I would push on that print in black only, and that wasn't working. So then I got this new printer. And I'm getting ready to preach, and it's Wi-Fi, and I don't know, it works with a computer, it works without a computer, and I don't know what all was going on, but I just couldn't get the thing to print. Matter of fact, last night on the notes I have now, I printed them off of like, I'd printed a page or two, and I go up and I'd hit print to make sure it was printing everything I put on, and I finally got it working last week. And of course, yesterday I got on it, and it was a little bit haywire again, and I just thought, oh, here we go again, and I haven't had time to be mad at the Cubs. Amen. I've been so mad at my computer. So, praise the Lord. Sister Davis is sick also. She came down with something Friday and spent the last couple days in bed, and I haven't even seen her. It's been so quiet and nice. You know, the door's shut. She's in the room. It's evidently bad enough she doesn't even want me to get it. But tomorrow everything changes. I got a ticket on an airplane. Amen. Going to Florida to see Sheriff and the kids for about a week and looking forward to that. And Sister Davis seemed like she's on the upbeat today. I called Jim Umbers on my way out here and I told Jim, I said, I had some people ask me about you and I just wanted to know what to tell them because I know somebody will probably come up and say, how's Jim doing? But Jim is doing very well on that last step that he had. He's gotten the infection taken care of that was on the outside of his lung, but very close, really attached. And he seemed to be very strong, talked strong when I talked to him on the phone today and sounded very good. But do keep him in prayer. He's going through some very serious things. Amen. And I hope in these serious things he's going through that he will come to a serious realization. You know, that he has. Loved Jim, loved his family for many years. And let's stand together. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read a verse that I know that most of you know. I think it is impacts us and gives us a lot of insight to being the people of God. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee, and thou shalt be no more priest unto me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and will also forget thy children. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Notice says, first of all, he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And then he says, and because thou hast rejected knowledge. There was something going on in the heart of man that he just decided in his own self. This was God's people. They were very closely associated with the Word of God. It was revered by many of their peers and those that have gone on, I should say, before them about the things of God. Matter of fact, the Bible reading program's coming up. If you are lacking knowledge, I pray that in all you're getting, you know, try to add that to wisdom and receive knowledge in yourself to where you know that you have something. The good thing about the Word of God, it is like a rock. You build your life upon that. And no longer are you trying to expose what you think, but you try to expose what God is thinking. Amen. And looking into the Word of the Lord and constantly having that at our side to where we know that the Word of God can speak. Because once you believe something, it makes a strong difference in your life. Amen. When you read a fact and you know it's in the Word of God and it was written by God, inspired by God, amen, there should be no more question in your mind about it. See, today we live in a society that does not have much resolve. It is easily offended. It is easily turned aside. It has no strong stamina. It has no loyalty. It has no dedication. It has no way in which it will always be there tomorrow. It used to be if you had a friend. Brother Davis, I'm so thankful to say this, not even just friends that are in the church, but friends that I had even in the world that I will sometimes get around just because they were my friend and we have memories together and I want to be loyal to that friend. Today, the quickest little thing will destroy relationships. Matter of fact, I don't even know how you build a relationship today because nobody's away from their phone long enough to even see what you look like, let alone what you think like. Hallelujah. And so we look at knowledge. And today in our society, there is a tremendous absence of knowledge in our society. Now, I have watched some television in my life, and I think it's Jimmy Kimmel or somebody like that that has a little program where they go out on the sidewalk and ask people questions, and like who is the vice president and who is, you know, this person, and you get all kinds of answers. And I'm thinking, you know, have you ever seen that? I mean, they go on college campuses and they don't even know who the vice president of the United States is. Amen. We all know it's Dick Cheney. And you would ask about some other important character. I read an article a few weeks ago, and it talked a little bit about what is known as Bible illiteracy. And people today are amazed within, not Pentecostal churches, not especially not a United Pentecostal church, and especially not the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, but there are churches today, amen, that are fundamental churches, and they believe in the Word of God. And to be honest with you, many of them are Pentecostal. And they have, to us, in some ways, have left the truth, and they've adapted the same ideology that the world is trying to build churches on. You know, feed them with entertainment, but starve them for the lack of knowledge. Amen. And if it becomes too serious, and so I really got very little scripture today because you probably wouldn't listen to it anyway. But I really believe I'm in a different atmosphere, have always been in a different atmosphere than that. Hallelujah. We love the Word of God. Amen. To love the Word of God, and notice that the Bible says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge and because they rejected knowledge. Now that falls into a different category. It's not the fact that we don't know it, but sometimes, even though we know it, we reject it. And that's what the Lord was dealing with more than just they never learned it. But I'm afraid that there are probably Christians today, amen, that look at the Word of God and some things and realize, I know it's in there. I don't even want to go down that line or we would never get any further this morning, but I know it's in there. I got to forgive my brother, but this is different. You know, nobody has ever been done like I have been done or treated the way I was treated or ignored the way I was ignored. Folks, I want to tell you something. In heaven, I thank God there will be witnesses because I believe there will always be somebody that will stand up in judgment and says, you know what? I was able to make it to church. I could get there on time. Amen. I had 13 children. I know what it's like to have kids. And somebody will stand up that makes it. Amen. Because they not only had knowledge, but they accepted that knowledge above their own knowledge. Amen. Now, a man named Charles Swindoll, I know you know who he is. Amen. It says, during my days of serving a pastor in New England, I heard a teacher named Thayer S. Warsaw, who quizzed a group of college-bound high school juniors and seniors about the Bible. The quiz preceded the Bible as literature, of course, and he planned to teach at Newton, Massachusetts High School, generally considered the top public high school in the nation, among whom also astounding findings we got the replies of students were that Sodom and Gomorrah were lovers, and that Jezebel was Ahab's donkey. And some students thought that four horsemen were on the Acropolis. The New Testament Gospels were written by Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. Eve was created from an apple, and Jesus was baptized by Moses. And seriously, the answer that took the cake was by the fellow that was on the top 5% of the graduating class academically. And the question was, what was Golgotha? And Golgotha was the name of the giant who slew the apostle David, was the answer. Another writer, matter of fact, of George Gallup and Jim Castelli, put the problem squarely. Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. Hallelujah. I know that's not you. I mean, I know most of you how long you've been in this thing, and surely I know that you read your Bible. It's a part of your everyday life. It's a part of something that just becomes a part of you. Amen. And because they don't read it, they have become the nation of biblical illiterates. How bad is it? Researchers tell us that it's worse than most could imagine. Fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Many Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the disciples. According to data from the Barna Research Group, 60% of Americans can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. No wonder people break the Ten Commandments all the time. They don't know what they are, said George Barna, president of the firm. The bottom line, increasingly, America is biblically illiterate. According to 82% of Americans, God helps those who helps themselves is a Bible verse. Those identified as born-again Christians did better by 1%. A majority of adults, the Bible teaches that the most important purpose of life is taking care of one's family. Barnes poll indicated that at least 12% of the adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And another survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. Not lovers, but husband and wife. It changed. A considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. And I'm sure he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, but it wasn't the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I said all that just to make you feel real good about yourself today. Amen. Aren't you glad you're so knowledgeable? Amen. Most of you, amen, don't identify with that. I know that most of you, if not all of you, because that's just the way I know that you are. And yet there are things today that are being addressed to us as a nation. Amen. So many issues. For example, one of these days, I mean, people are concerned about that we might go broke as a country. As if $18 trillion is not broke. That's a pretty serious debt. Amen. We have hard times thinking about maybe a couple hundred or a couple thousand, but $18 trillion, everybody knows, amen, that our financial situation is about, and matter of fact, you hear it all the time, that things are about to change in America. I don't know, I would be more apt to believe that than reject that. I would be more apt to say I need to do something and think very carefully about what I'm going to do with my life. Amen. The very things that we talked about, Dr. Ben Carson has been asked a lot of interesting questions. Amen. Do you really believe in evolution? Why, yes, he believes in evolution. Amen. He believes in a creator. He believes that the Bible is the Word of God. He might not be United Pentecostal. I think he's Seventh-day Adventist. Amen. But they do believe the Bible, and they read things and want to practice it. They might not be exactly where we are and not agree on all things, but one thing about the man, he has stood up for some biblical principles that he has, amen, and is speaking the truth more than any politician I've ever seen, and yet people are concerned about his religion. And they don't know anything about religion anyway. Amen. They're part of that world that I was talking to, and that's why so many denominational churches today and Christians can actually vote for somebody that is pro-abortion, amen, and somebody else that is pro-euthanasia, and all of those matters to them. As a matter of fact, you talk to them, well, that doesn't affect me any. It does affect you. You realize the tide that took, it took us all by surprise. I shouldn't say surprise. I kind of expected it a few within the last number of weeks, we have dealt with this homosexual marriage. How many knew that was going on? All right. And I'm so glad that the Word undergirds us. It's not there. And I told people, I quit trying to figure out prophetically exactly when things are going to take place. I have learned, I think, the beauty of knowing that when these things happen in our society, and we get a little shocked by it, we can just look in the Word and recall in our own minds. I don't even think we have to open the Bibles. We can start saying, you know what? That sounds like something Jesus said. Amen. That in the last days, amen, these things will come to pass. Now they're addressing the fact that homosexual activists are fond of arguing that Jesus never spoke against homosexuality. And we know that he did. Mark chapter 7, verse 23. And it's a moral issue that we have of a day to where we look into the world and we think this is just common and it's natural. And for them to get married is just a good thing. And you don't realize that this started. I want to tell you something about and yet, on the same token, I will tell you, we need to treat them like everybody else is in sin. All of this came down the stream when we decided that we were going to accept divorce and remarriage. Amen. And when I say that as a church, we have that, amen, as a problem. We have dealt with that, and people in the churches, amen, can repent over failed relationships and failed marriages, amen, and come to back into a relationship. Paul said in one place when he enabled all the atrocities that's going on in the world as far as moral conditions are concerned, he names them off and says, and such were some of you. Amen. Some of you were liars. Some of you, amen, were covenant breakers. Some of you were in adultery or fornication, as we would know that. And yet, when Jesus is speaking, he says, it's that which comes out of a man that defiles a man. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, which comes from the Greek word porneia. You knew that. I knew that you knew that. Amen. I'm sure Brother Wells has reaffirmed that in the mind, but you know, Brother Davis was always trying to clearly bring that out, that those sins that were so vile. Of proponents of that ideology in the world that you live in today, and to us we're thinking, oh, that is so immoral and so wrong. Why? Because it falls underneath this idea of porneia, which we get the word pornography from, and it really deals with sexual impurity. And Jesus was all about sexual purity. And a matter of fact, every kind of impurity we can find, amen, from honor and integrity and all those things that come into our life, he was one that demanded that we be perfect and that we love those things. And so we read it again just for the sake of emphasis. Out of our minds will proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. Amen. You better get those things out of your mind, out of your heart. Amen. Jesus said in one place, Luke chapter 7, 24 through 30, for as lightning that lighteth out of one part of heaven shineth into another part of heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. It's going to happen quickly. It doesn't take long for a bolt of lightning, amen, to spread across the sky. And not just across the sky, but spread out little fingers in just about every direction. It's an amazing thing to see. It happens amazingly fast. The thunder lasts longer than the lightning. And yet it comes so much later. And that lightning is so much more powerful. Amen. And he goes on to say, but first must he suffer many things, be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, amen, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man, in which he will return. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the last day. Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sowed, they planted, they builded. And the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I know that our world has become very perverted, but it cannot discourage us. It cannot bring us down and not cause us to question. Amen. We do not go to the sources of the world to feed our mind and feed our heart. Amen. We might read some of their books, or we might look into some of their ideas. Amen. But we realize that this world is living a lie. It lives in deception. In the last day, another mark of your society, that everybody would be deceived. That has to be those that did not know the truth or love the truth or embrace the truth. Because when you know and love and embrace the truth, amen, you cannot be deceived. Hallelujah. Amen. God will not let it be. Amen. But it looks upon how we revere the word and how we apply it to our hearts. Amen. You say, Brother Davis, you know, do we have to go in and just really blast people that are morally in different conditions than we are? I am not advocating that at all. Matter of fact, I think that they ought to be. I think I shared with the church about my cousin who was married, had a gay marriage, or was homosexual. They would not marry. They did not believe in it. But when Sam got saved, there were just things. I tell you what, how he was saved. He was saved by a nice Pentecostal lady that came into his beauty shop that treated him like a normal individual, that loved him when he had cancer and waited upon him. Amen. Knew that his life was in jeopardy. She did everything that she could. And she had cancer a few years before. And Sam said, I did nothing. Matter of fact, I didn't even want to talk to her. I didn't want to have to deal with listening to what her problems were. And yet when it happened to me, she went out of her way. I'm not embracing it. I'm not endorsing it. I don't think we have to bring it up every time we talk to someone. But by all means, we have a right to be in our hands. And we will get God's answer. It comes from God's book. He established that. But we're living in a world today that will not even accept that. I think it's the same that the endorsing of gay marriage had to override, you know, the stand that our nation took, Congress took, about preserving marriage, amen, right, the right of that marriage. Paul says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel was preached of me not after man. Neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus became his teacher, probably more than any theologian in the Word of God. There was something about the spiritual relationship that he had with this dynamic figure that struck him down, that seemed to cause him to realize there were things going on in the world. A lot of people today, you know, I've actually had a minister one time ask me, what do you think of the Apostle? can see why some women could think that. But not holding the integrity of the scripture and the revelation, you know how he was saved. And Paul goes on, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Amen. Romans chapter 1, 26 and 27. 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. Amen. All of these, he goes down and talks about the moral problems of his society. Amen. And folks, that was a long time ago. It has gotten even worse. Man has become more immoral. In these translations, it will talk about, amen, men leaving the natural use of women and kind of words that are ambiguous to us. I don't like new translations very well. I'm not big on the New Living Translation, amen, because it just seems to water down so many things. But every now and then, it comes up with something good, like, you know, homosexuality. It didn't say men working with men. It just comes out and labels the sin. It talks about men that were kidnappers. It talks about men, amen, that were maybe in the slave trade. And we think today about the horrendous thing about our young people being kidnapped. And if not in our world, in other countries, and being sold into prostitution. And it seems to be more prevalent than ever before. We become more knowledgeable, but where our knowledge is built in the wrong place. There is something about coming to the knowledge of God and revering His Word and respecting His Word, amen, that keeps us kind of sheltered in some ways. Folks, there are young men, amen, almost on a weekly basis now, who walks into a school or some other place and pulls a gun and begins destroying people, and there was something evil. Jesus said that comes out of the heart of man, not out of a gun. Amen, because you can have a propane tank and take it into school and do more damage, amen, than any of that if you so desired. Nowadays, young people are even, you can't even buy, I didn't know this, but if you're not 18, you can't even go in the store and buy a thing. We're sitting at dinner, and Ben was saying to Brother Lacasio, we got to go, I got to get that can of paint. And I'm thinking, why does he just go buy the can of paint, give him the money? And they won't sell it to you unless you're 18 years old. We're in a world that is running scared. We're in a day to where you cannot really address the idea of sin. You cannot bring up, amen, the name of Jesus Christ in a school. They don't want him in the school. They don't want him in the courtrooms. They don't want him in the nation. They don't want him anywhere else. And we wonder why, amen, that we have been so dumbed down as a nation and even as churches when it comes to the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. This Right to Marriage Act was started in 1970 by a young couple that just decided that they were going to get a marriage license, a man, two men. Amen, in Minnesota, and it was shot down very quickly. I think it was in the early 90s, it was taken to Hawaii, and somebody else applied for the license, and then that moved into a higher court, and a higher court threw it out. In 1996, I believe it was, that men started. If I can find some stats here real quickly, amen, share them, otherwise I will just go on and tell you some of the things of this little article. In November 1998, I should say, 69% of Hawaiian voters supported the amendment. Amen. It is called by the Supreme Court the will of the people. It carries on to where in 1967, 70% of Americans did not believe, amen, the different races should marry. 34% had already enacted the anti-laws for that, for interracial marriages. Got a long name there I don't want to get stuck on. Vermont legalized civil unions, but more losses forward in the court. New York, Maryland, Washington, Arizona, Indiana. In 2004, they campaigned against that, and I'm trying to look for the anyway. It brings it all the way down to where one particular lawyer fought this battle all by himself. From 1970, pretty much, maybe a little after that, all the way up until this year. But it never ceased. It did not try to make it a political issue as much as they made it a personal issue and a people issue, and that's why it never went to the Congress and to the Senate. Amen. They always took it directly to the courts. And they knew that the more we present this, the more common we will seem. Amen. To where finally there's a drastic turnaround today to where most people, amen, would believe that really we are not in the majority of the world today. Amen. We are very much, I think, in a minority. We are not the Christian majority anymore. We are the Christian minority. Amen. But we were always supposed to be the Christian minority. Amen. Wide is that gate and broad is that way that leads to destruction. And many go in thereat, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Amen. And few there be that find it. Whoever thought that we were supposed to be in the majority? And then Jesus has the audacity to bring up this story about Sodom and Gomorrah. Terrible scene. We know it very well, the story. Lot was set into the gate. He had already made a mistake because he and Abraham were separated, and he looked out toward the east, and he saw the well-watered plains of Shinar and put his tent up and set the door toward Sodom and Gomorrah because it just seemed like a cool place to live. When he got there, it was a little bit different. Day in, day out, he was constantly dealing with the contrast between the convictions that Abraham had instilled in him and the society that he was living in. He never left the city. He stayed there. As a matter of fact, probably became a ruler. That's why he was sitting in the gate. And one night, he's visited by these angels that came in. I should say day. People in the town begin to survey, amen, and scrutinize what was going on. And the word got around that, hey, we have some visitors, amen, that are now in our city, and we ought to go to Lot's house. That's where they're living. And he's fixing them a meal and treating them okay and let him know who we are and what we do. And who they were and what they did was not very good. Matter of fact, they were involved. It is not just homosexual sin. They were involved in probably every kind of sin, amen, and sexual immorality that man could even think of. But they were very bold in their actions. Their perversion has a boldness to it, a militancy about it. That's why some of them can march in the street. In New York City a number of years ago, they had the power to divert Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Catholic Church was anti, amen, homosexuality and has many convictions along birth control and various things like that. And when they got there, matter of fact, in New York City today, you can walk around with topless if you want to. But these people got in front of the Catholic Church and literally began to have a love in and took the time out of the parade. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. That's when perversion becomes militant. Amen. And it becomes persuasive. And it becomes one that is always going to just kind of be persistent. You're not going to stop us. We are who we are. There are some people that I believe that are attacked spiritually at a very young age, and they probably feel like they were born that way. I do not believe that. I believe it was some influence in the society that we have in today. And there were obsessions that were developed there at a young age, and how they enter and how they exit. I don't know all of those things, but we're living in a world today that there is a lot of spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a lot of rulers of darkness in the world that we live in. They sit underneath the auspices of many teachers, amen, that are going to attack them in their Christianity and attack them in their faith day in and day out, and they seem to get by with it. But here you have these people that are showing their lewdness in Sodom and in New York and in other places, amen, throughout our world because they are so proud of their sin. Matter of fact, they knocked on the door and they told Lot, bring those men out to us. We would like to know them, the King James says. New Living Translation, I call it. But Vito uses that a lot. We know that you haven't really swallowed it all, Lot, but yet Lot was also vexed. Called a righteous man that was vexed by their filthy conversation. And before long, you can hear it. And if it's taught out of the, you know, just to hear the mild side of everything, I believe it's really inconsistent with what the Word has to say in the world. And if you're not very careful, before long, you're going to be saying things like, well, I don't really care about that. I mean, it don't affect me none. It has just affected you a lot. It has morally changed our world. It's morally changed us as a nation. It puts us out there as somebody, as a nation that used to be so strong in God and convictions and not anymore. Amen. Now we fall for just about anything. And so, amen, the angel, you know, is there waiting inside. And so finally Lot says, you know what? I have two daughters, never known a man. A wonder he was so vexed by their filthy conversation. You just take them and do with what you want to do with them. But the angels of the Lord brought him inside. And amen. And as he was there, they smote these men with blindness. And in their blindness, you would have thought, well, they have to humble themselves now and pray and say, I'm sorry, and quit knocking on the door and says, you know, and now we are blind. And the Bible says they wearied themselves trying to find the door to get into the house. And finally they would move away from there because they could not find the door because of the severe blindness that were pronounced upon them. Friend, there is an age that is coming upon us that does not know how to repent. Amen. Does not feel the need to repent. Amen. They've come to the place where they feel like, I'm okay. A few years ago, I'm sure I told this story. I had a young man out of my church in Heron that was in a children's hospital as a teenager. Young man, should say early 20s, maybe somewhere there, 20s, 30. And Brent had AIDS. And the family called me after he got to the very final stages of his AIDS. They wanted me to go see him, and when I did, he was already in a coma. And so I went up there a couple times, and finally I got a call from a young lady that was a lesbian and asked me, said, you know, if we decide to put, you know, if we can put his maybe obituary in the paper. I said, well, I can't really tell you that because I'm not his authority. You'll have to ask his family if they want his obituary in the paper. And she said, well, you got to understand, in our little gay lesbian newspaper in North Chicago, says we read the obituary like most people read want ads. I don't know if people read want ads anymore. But it's just common for us, the first thing we do, we get up. At such a rate, and I know they've curbed that now, and they treat AIDS to where it's a disease that is not incurable, but yet it is, they're able to manage it, I think is where the stage is on it now. But to think that you are going to your obituaries and your paper every day because so many of your friends are dying, and that's not enough to make you want to turn away from these things? Amen. We've got to give an answer because we're the only hope of them turning away from their confusion and turning away from their immorality and turning away from their lifestyles. Amen. And if something happens to quieten us, if somewhere along the line we take the ideas of this world and throw out the knowledge, amen, that God has given us, we are a very blessed people to know what we know. Amen. To experience what we have experienced. Amen. To have learned, amen, in the house of God about the things of God. I want to tell you something today, folks. It's not being done in most churches. There are some that are just kind of, matter of fact, you're hearing more and more and more and more about how that churches are going further and further away. I read an article the other day on home groups. And I know that we have churches that use that. I'm not condemning the idea of home groups, but one of the downfalls of it was is that they are not getting much word in the home groups. They sit and maybe talk about a scripture, and the scripture can deal with maybe some impertinent things or maybe some pertinent things, and they ask a question, and they cover very little ground. And the guy was saying that the home groups are kind of catering to a biblical illiteracy. It scares you when people cannot repent. We know that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord was come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Amen. As he talks about the last days. I'll give you a little quick thing here in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 9, it tells us, after man had seen a curse or a plague of God come and wipe out a third of the world's population, and there were vegetation was gone, and rivers were turned to blood, and all kinds of darkness was around everywhere. And it says, and the rest of the men that were not killed, and it had to talk to them in such a fashion, 9 and 20, and the rest of the men that were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, and neither can see nor hear nor walk, and neither repented they of their murders or their sorceries, amen, or fornication, amen, or their thefts, amen. Now we have this word sorceries, which means what? What's that? No, it's... Yeah, right. I'm sorry. You're right. Furnace. I was thinking of going in a different direction there. Thank you, Sister Christy. You remember what I didn't remember teaching you. Amen. But I do remember that. Hallelujah. But what's the case? These people are going to be so... We're living in a world that is approaching the coming of the Lord. And I'd like to tell you it's going to get a whole lot better, but I'm not for sure that it is. Amen. We're going to be dealing with people that after a third, you would think that after a tsunami, all of these plagues come, and half of the, or a third of the world loses itself, and they still don't repent. In 16 and 9 through 11, amen, it goes through this whole process again, but on a more serious nature. God is not willing that men would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He has to allow some things to happen, amen, to try to get the world out of their system. But friend, I want to tell you something. The only thing that can get the world out of their system is the Holy Ghost in their lives, amen. And of course, that is administered by Jesus Christ himself. The world cannot change them psychologically. They don't have the wherewithal to do it. But after 16 and 9, it says, and the men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. They knew that. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast and upon the kingdom full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and they blasphemed God, amen, the God of heaven, because their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. We have just moved into a society that has become hardened in their heart, more indifferent to the things of God. Amen. Don't want to get involved in any kind of emotion, any real move of the Lord, of the Holy Ghost. And after all these things, I would hope, I just pray that somehow that, and I think we need to pray this way, God, keep me so sensitive to where the silliest little thing will make me weep in my repentance. We need to be repenting over things like, I didn't read my Bible enough. Amen. Not somewhere within our church incest is going on. We ought to come to the place where we can come and say, you know what? I know that I should have given to that missionary or got behind the work of God. And I want to tell you something. We need to lay down our lives. Let me give you a little idea. I don't even know why I've been thinking that. But, you know, some of us are getting old. You want me to tell you the best thing to do to your kids is in your death, make sure that your church gets more of your inheritance than your kids do. Because of the fact, friend, there is no place like this church. And I'm not talking about the First Apostolic Church of Jesus Christ, amen, but I'm talking about the real church, the universal body, people that are doing the work of God, that they love God. Amen. Your children need to see how much you love him and tell them and explain to them, amen, we're going to listen to the church. Bozo the Clown or anybody else, my money can be put into the work of the kingdom. And I think it ought to be. I think the world needs to see demonstrated how willing you are to sacrifice and give to the things of God and the kingdom of God. When the first church came along, and I close with this, the Bible says they went out and they sold all the possessions. And they put them all together and distributed. And I'm not for wealth distribution as far as the things. I think it ought to become voluntary. But you know what? They did that. There was a spirit of giving. And they didn't have any money. And they gave up their money a long time ago. And their money moved into the work of the kingdom because God foresaw that. And there ought to be something in our lives that is telling us, hey man, you've got yourself so entangled and so entrapped and intertwined with the world. You need to realize it's time to get more separate and not closer. Hey man, it's time to get away from these things. The Lord said, come out from among them and be you separate. And I'm not talking about goofiness, but I'm talking about just things that make sense. We know, amen, that time is coming. I'm so glad that Jesus addressed Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he says, but when you see these same things happening, that happened in the days of Noah, that happened in the days, and I had to destroy it by water, and happened in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I had to destroy them with fire, and next time the earth is going to melt away with a fervent heat. And folks, I tell you what, I don't know when the Lord's coming. But if it goes as fast, the condition of this world, as it's gone in the last 30, 40 years, matter of fact, in the last 20 years, matter of fact, it's just getting faster and faster every day. We're moving at a pace to where the only way I know is keep ourselves on our knees and our humble heart and spirit, broken spirit, and this heart, amen, clean heart, that we come before God with. We need to put it down and say, Lord, you got to be first. You got to be Lord over all. You got to be the one. Don't let us fall into biblical illiteracy. Let us know the word. Encourage one another. Amen. If you have a hard time studying the word by yourself, two or three of you get together and read the word together. Amen. And get this book, amen, in your man. Praise the Lord, so that we do not fall for the things and the deceptions of this world. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good hand offering. Amen. Stand with me and thank God you know what you know, and ask God, the Lord, give me a whole lot more knowledge. Amen. I know that the God of salvation has chosen us, Lord, to be saved. Hallelujah, Lord, and have knowledge of the truth in Jesus' name.
the writer of Hebrews had some rather chilling words in reference to the generation that came out of Egypt because of their unbelief. They did not enter into the promises of God. Hebrews 3:10 says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Then the writer of Hebrews says this. He brings it to us. He brings it home to our generation, because as Brother Davis just informed us, we are living in a generation much like that generation. And the writer of Hebrews said this, "Take heed, brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." You want to know why people don't read their Bible? Because they don't believe that it's necessary. You want to know why people don't pray like they should? Because they don't believe they need prayer. You want to know why people don't come to church like they should? Because they don't believe they should. They don't need to. They have all the answers. They know what to do. But here's the next part. "But exhort one another daily while it is today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You want to know what combats deceit? Knowledge. And the reason why we've become hard, and the reason why even among our Christian ranks, if we're not careful, we'll be accepting and tolerant of sin, the deceitfulness of sin, it is simply because we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I thought the other day, you see it, it's happening in our society. To teach and train a child in the way that they should go is now considered indoctrination. And it's akin to being a Muslim, a radical, a member of ISIS. The pictures and the videos and the media coverage of little kids who have fake knives, who are beheading dolls, and that's what they want to portray as what it means to train up a child. Catch it. Catch what's happening in our society. Let your spiritual antennae just be just a little bit sensitive to what's going on in our world. When what's presented as preaching is when a Muslim cleric gets up and with a knife and tells people to behead the infidels. And that is what is presented as preaching. Two of the greatest, if you will, religions that are well known throughout our world as being orthodox, in that of Judaism, in that of being Muslim. And what do? They train their children from the very beginning. Muslims, children are required to memorize the Quran. Orthodox children are required to memorize the Quran. In Judaism, Orthodox children are required to memorize the Talmud and the Torah. They're required to dress differently. Ooh. Catch where it's going, folks. Understand, don't be ignorant of the times. And lest any of us be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. God, give me knowledge. Preacher, preach it to me straight. Don't let this world define what good is. They call evil good and good evil. Lord, let me come into the house of the Lord, into the sanctuary where knowledge of what is good and what is right is presented, because I don't want my heart hardened where I'm accepting of stuff and I start compromising in my own lifestyle and I start making exception and I start making concessions in my own life because, well, these circumstances are different. I'm sorry. The word of God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And the only way that you're going to make it, and the only way that you and I are going to come out on the other side victorious, is if we have knowledge. Not based upon this world and its ideas, but based upon what thus saith the word of the Lord. Read your Bible. Pray. Get a relationship with Jesus Christ where you can't be detoured by this world. Lest your heart become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And the only way you combat deceit is knowledge. I don't have to worry about what the world thinks about it. I already know what the Word of God thinks about it. I don't worry about what the popular vote says about it. Folks, I'm not going to carry on much longer. But you need to understand. We want to put it off on the politicians. The politicians are nothing more than the extension of the people. The reality is this world, I'm sorry, but the old adage is becoming true. It's going to hell in a handbasket. And hell is enlarging our mouth daily. I want knowledge. I want to know how to save my family. I want to know how to make it where I can help Austin and Kinsley and Landon make the right decisions because they're out in a world where deceit is rampant. They're involved in darkness every day of their lives. I got to help them know what light is. Jesus, all over this house, why don't you lift your hands, Lord? Help me. Help me to understand I don't know everything I think I know, and I don't have it all together, Lord. And help now my unbelief, God, because the reason why I don't do what I should be doing is simply a lack of faith. I don't believe it's essential. I don't believe it's necessary, because if I really understood how important praying is, I'd pray more. If I really understood how important it is to know the Word of God, I'd read more. If I really understood how important it is to gather together with people of like precious faith and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I know we're not perfect, and I know we don't have it all right, but I'll tell you this, we're headed in the right direction. We're looking towards our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you need to be here. Every opportunity it avails that you need to make it a priority in your life to be in the house of God, because if you don't, your heart will become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And the last thing you want is the Lord swearing in His wrath that you shall not enter into His rest. The scariest words in all the Bible: for the Lord shall send them strong delusion. Send them strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie and be damned. Lord, I want to have knowledge. I want to have knowledge. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know what it takes to make heaven my home. I want to know how to lead my family. I want to know how it's going to be that I can walk hand in hand and my wife and my kids in the portals of glory, because I can be a success in a lot of things. And if they don't make it, I'm a failure. Help me. Help me, Jesus. All over this house, lift your hands, lift your voice, God. Help and open our hearts, open our minds, and be receptive to your word. Is it not something to play around with? It's not something to get in and out of. It's something to sink the stakes deep in. It's something to be my anchor. It's something to say this will hold. When everything else around me falls apart, I got to have more knowledge. How do I sink the stakes deeper? How do I become more connected? How to become more tied up into this? Because when the world is blown away, I want to stand. When everything that can be shaken will be shaken, I want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how.
is one of the greatest travesties of all.
To be one with you.
Is it is free.
In my heart.
Whomsoever will, let him come. Take of the waters of life freely. It's free. The Lord's already paid the tuition. He's already paid the fees. He has already paid the price. And now, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. It's here. The knowledge of what it takes to make it. The knowledge of how to order your steps are in His Word. The knowledge. It'll keep you from the calamity that this world continues hastily toward.
Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. I give my heart to you.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, Lord.
You're my key. I give my
battle, the war in the heavenlies, it's increasing in intensity. Do you understand? Do you feel the groaning in your spirit? Are you sensitive to what's happening in the atmosphere? Do you know? The angels are sharpening their swords. Do you not realize what is happening even now? Do you not understand the voice of your prophets as they speak, as they warn you of what's to come? Please heed the word of the Lord. Do not be just a hearer, but be a doer of the word. Understand. Take the knowledge and act upon the knowledge, which is wisdom, for wisdom is justified of a children.
In this place, teach us how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come.
Thank you,
Jesus. Holy Spirit, rest in this place, teach us how to be one with you.
Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you. Once again, reminding us, warning us, admonishing us in your word. Turn to you. You're the answer. Your word's not archaic, it's not outdated. It's just as relevant today as it has ever been. Let us not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. In your love, in your mercy, in your long suffering. Once again, remind us. Keep us, God, following you. In the name of Jesus. Why don't you clap your hands? The Lord is worthy. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for a man of God who will say it straight. I'm not interested in patty cake Pentecost. I want what is real. I want what will help. What will keep me on the straight and narrow. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Brother Davis, word of the Lord. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.